Well, today's parable follows two other parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. A common theme among the three is the joy that is experienced when found. There is an invitation extended to friends and families to join in a celebration rejoicing in finding this lost sheep. And the same goes with the coin that a widow finds after looking tirelessly. She invites her whole community to rejoice with her. And so our parable today also extends an invitation of celebration after a lost son returns home. He had gone far away and had spent all his father's inheritance with, and so now he has left with nothing. And then he then feels unworthy to be called a son to his father, and so he decides to return home with the hope that his father will take him back. At our surprise, his father embraces him back. As soon as he sees his son walking back, the father doesn't care what he has to say, but embraces him back. Now, the issue here is, in this parable, is that as the father invites friends and family to celebrate the return of his son, his oldest son now has lost his way in resentment and in anger. He feels for once left out, and he now feels that the way his father is acting is unfair. The father, our text says, that goes out to plead with his son, with his oldest son. And any parent with multiple children may have experienced this dynamic of addressing feelings of unworthiness or of feeling left out. I don't have more than one son, but I do have multiple nieces and nephews. And I remember when my second niece was born, my oldest niece was not very happy about that. She refused to say hi to the new baby when the baby finally made it home. She would tell her mom to take the baby back to the hospital, that she did not want her another baby, or she just didn't want her sister. And I bet she must have felt that she did not want to share that space, right? She must have felt that she would now have to share the space with her parents' love, or that she would have to share her toys with her sister. She must have felt left out when everyone was so excited about the new baby. I remember my sister and brother-in-law had to plead with her for her to say hi to the baby, for her to welcome her into the family. This last week, my sister had her fourth child and another girl. And as usual, everyone is excited about a new baby in the family. I had to take my nieces and nephew to school this last week while their parents were at the hospital. Grandma wasn't also in the house as well. And as you can imagine, when grandma is home, my nieces and nephew, they get spoiled, right? They get this extra treatment. And so they love when grandma is home. Well, my nephew was loving this treatment because up until now, he had been the baby of the family. But I feel like he was also going through something similar this past week. He refused to go to preschool. So I was the one that had to plead with my nephew to go to school. But in pleading with him and learning what was going on with him, we talked about how he felt about the coming of the new baby. And I asked him if he was excited as everybody else. But he said, I'm happy, but I'm not that excited. And I think he was going through something similar his oldest sister went through, right? I am not going to be the baby of the family anymore, and I have to share this place with someone else. All of these parables are rooted in the interaction Jesus had earlier in the chapter with the Pharisees and the scribes. Last week, Pharisees were warning Jesus of Pharaoh, and they are now criticizing Jesus for sitting next to tax collectors and sinners. They thought that they did not deserve the love of Jesus or to share that space with Jesus. Now, tax collectors were considered traitors. They collected taxes for Rome, which was the political power that occupied that land at the time. And we're not given much description as to who the other people whom Jesus was with, other than they had the label of sinners. They were people who Pharisees and scribes did not like, but were not given much description other than they were sinners. They had received that label. It may be that they had a different lifestyle than the Pharisees or the scribes, or they had done something really, really bad, or maybe it was as simple as they did not go to the synagogue on a Sabbath. They did not go to the place of worship on the day of worship. Matt Skinner, a professor of New Testament, says that back then, the act of eating and fellowship with others forged a particular bond among people. It gave a sense of belonging. It forged an intimate friendship. Also, you never ate with someone with a different socioeconomic level. Meaning, if you were eating with someone who was of a lower social class, you were degrading yourself. Or if you were a person of that lower class, that person with the higher class was raising your dignity by eating with you. And that is what people were upset about, that Jesus would sit with all people. The Pharisees and the scribes will never eat with those of lower class or who held different religious views, because they were the religious people in town. And so Jesus, by eating and having fellowship with those who also share a different moral standard, were not invited at their table. So going back to the story, the religious leaders might have been like the son who refuses to fellowship with this younger brother, mirroring those who they consider unworthy and bad. And Jesus might have been like the younger son, the one who excessively is extending grace, spending excessively the grace of God, which they did not agree with, right? Prodigal means wasteful. And traditionally, the son who spends his father's inheritance is a prodigal, wastefully spending all of his father's money. But that is what Jesus, exactly what he was doing. He was the son of God, and he was extending the grace of God in an extravagant way, which for some, they thought that was a waste, that grace was not to be extended to those on the other side, enemies, sinners, tax collectors. But all of these parables are rooted in Jesus illustrating what the kingdom of God looks like, a place where all belong, a place where all are invited, regardless of what their crimes are. Jesus has come to invite all people to his presence, to his holy presence. And so today, once again, Jesus invites us all to his presence, to his table, even if we think we are unworthy. The good news is that Jesus still invites us to receive his love for all of us, his forgiveness and his grace. Us, by coming together at the table, we continue to forge, as Christians, this deep friendship around God's presence. And we also continue to be shaped by our mutual relationship with God in Jesus, who welcomes all of us. And for that, we say thank you. Thanks be to God. Amen.